latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hey, you!
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Fick on Sirius XM Radio.
Come out of here on the floor, honey, let's rock some more, yeah. Now when you get out here, don't you have no fear. Put your hands on your hip and let your backbone slip and work out. My mama moved up.
We're back at the races. About 10 minutes to the top of the hour. Mr. Excitement, the great Jackie Wilson. And Mr. Excitement, among the Del Mar trainers, John Sadler, who you better put on your asbestos gloves when you go to shake hands with him in the paddock. Because, John, you're unconscious.
We had a great weekend. Very exciting. We had two really great wins, so I'm really happy for the clients and for the crew, and just a good solid weekend. Both horses performed beautifully.
Well, and it's not just you're forgetting about the Cougar too.
We got the that's this week. so that was the Wednesday feature. I was really happy with the campaign. That's a hard race to win all the time. Mile and a half, no easy go. So. Yeah, very good week. I have no complaints. And we're kind of taking a breath today, and then we're going to focus in on what's coming up.
Let's work backwards from last night, because this was a really great weekend for racing in general, and that includes what went on with Enable and Crystal Ocean in the King George. That got everybody excited Saturday morning. Frankly, I'll throw in a win for the game in the court system with the circuit court judge, right?
That, absolutely.
I can't remember. Did we? I think we did visit this last month with you. What's the feeling around there, John?
Everybody was delighted to see Jerry back there Sunday. He walked down the barn at 10-6, you know, because we're stabled next to each other. So it was great to see him there on Sunday. And, you know, it's a win for horsemen, you know, for all of us, because it could happen to any of us what they did. So it was really good to see him back. And I think it lifted everybody's spirits yesterday.
I felt that it was, and folding in the actual on-track racing, the excitement over the grade ones that you swept, and how about the Arrogate sister for Baffert yesterday to start the card, and et cetera. I thought that the Thursday, Friday, that helped. I think, to me, it may be a momentum, a pendulum swing toward the positive for the second half of the year. And, you know, your year has just gone, you know, from strength to strength. Start with last night's performance, because I thought DeSormo was absolutely brilliant, especially when he brought Ollie's Candy out to make sure she saw the oncoming favorite.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's capable of you know, tremendous rides, and I got was beneficiary of one yesterday. You know, with him, I've learned over the years, you don't want to give him any instructions. You want to let him be instinctual. So I literally, you know, I got to bite my tongue and say nothing other than good luck. And then, you know, here he is. He puts her on the lead, which she's not really ever been on before, and brings her out to hold off the other horse. And just a superb ride, no doubt about that.
And talk about her and the Egerts as well. It's a homebred, and what a big win for them.
Yeah, they're really, really lovely people. They live up in the Bay Area. And he called me up and about sending this filly down to me this year. And I said, you know, we're going to try to win a Group 1 with her, and we're going to try to get her to the Breeders' Cup. So on her third start, we've got the Group 1. She's already a Group 2 winner. Make her Group 1 winner is a huge deal. And we're on to the Breeders' Cup, hopefully.
What's their background? I kind of looked up to get a feel for them, and that's not a name that I'm familiar with.
Her father owned horses for a lot of years up in the Bay Area.
Okay.
So they have a connection to horse racing, and you'd have to get them on.
I will. I'd be happy to.
But they're really, really great people, and this is named after their daughter. So it's just a family horse that they kept, and so they've got this really nice filly.
Well, and it feels like, you know, you were kind of getting to know her a little bit. You know, the decision to move her from the turf to the dirt, what went into that?
Yeah, when she, you know, we were looking at the Yellow Ribbon, which is this weekend coming up. There was a non-winners of three down here and the Hirsch. And when I brought her down here and worked on this track, she worked probably better than any horse in the barn on her first work here. They gave her like 46-4. I had her 47. She went right out 59-4. This is on a slow track. So to me, she showed an affinity for this dirt, the way she worked over it. Because, you know, we're not asking him to work fast. If I have a good work like that, it's because the horse took the rider there. So she jumped right out and looked great on it. So I said, you know, I think we're going to take a shot at the dirt. We think the dirt's a little bit easier than the turf a lot of times. There's so many really good turf mares. And on the dirt, we always, you know, think there's some room.
And it's interesting because, I mean, you know, she ran, you know, very credibly in the Wilshire. And you go back to last summer when she won the Summertime Oaks for Bill Morey. And so she's obviously, I mean, and multiple graded stake placed later on in the year in the San Clemente and in the Del Mar Oaks. I mean, this is a really versatile, nice filly.
Yeah, well, and if you know, thing that I know about candy rides is, this filly's won now on synthetic. She's run well on turf, and she's won on dirt. So they run on any surface. And I think Kent, thought the other day when he rode her in the wheel, she was coming up the inside. She had to kind of wait on the inside, and then a horse swooped past her on the outside that she didn't really get to see it. So I think he wanted her to be able to see a horse yesterday, and when he got close to that horse, she just stuck her nose out in front and said, "I want to win."
I sent out the advisory on what she ran. She ran a career best 94 buyer, and to me, it jumped off the screen watching the replay. I didn't really notice it live. For those that are looking for this kind of thing and to understand, what we're talking about and the subtleties of a jock and what they do on a horse, watch at the top of the stretch as Secret Spice kind of comes wide out toward like the five path, and Kent is in about the 1.5-2 path, and watch his right hand where he takes the rein and he's tugging on the right rein to get her to turn her head so that she eyeballs Secret Spice, and then they come together by the little past the eighth pole, and race was on, and she refused to lose.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's he's obviously a Hall of Famer, and he really was a masterful ride, no doubt about that.
And John, I'm just noticing he was honor for the Summertime Oaks, and he was second honor in that Wilshire. They get along well.
Yeah, they really do. The first time back, I had Rosario in town, I think, for one of my big races, so I thought it was a natural first time for him to ride her while he was here. And it actually rained the day before that first stake, so the track was a little bit wet, turf that day, and he thought she needed one, Joelle told me. So, she came out of it well. She's trained forward. She moved forward kind of every race, She's just training better and better. So she's third race back in off a layup. She had some little rest at the end of last year for some ankle issues, but she's coming back very well.
So what do you do? What do you angle toward?
Well, if we want to run once more here, there's a turf race at the end of the meet. I think it's the maybe. We can wait for the Zenyatta when we get back up to Santa Anita. So it's either one or two races before the Breeders' Cup. Yet to be determined. We'll let her see us, and show us how she's feeling. That's a big effort. So we'll be a little conservative, on that kind of a stretch battle if she runs back here and waits for the Oak Tree meet.
When did you actually lay eyes on her? When did she arrive? Because she had been off since last August.
Yeah, she got there probably about 5 weeks before I ran her the first time, or 6 weeks. I don't remember exactly.
Late April?
Maybe end of March or something.
Okay.
She'd had some training at Golden Gate before she came down. So she came down in good shape, and I had a nice talk with Bill Morey. Give me the background on her, and he was very helpful, so I felt really good about that. He reached out to me, and we had some good conversations about her, and Paul was great about getting me all the info on her, so it was a very seamless transition. Everything has worked so far.
Well, I was really impressed, and, she's going to have to keep improving if she's going to challenge, the top of the distaff division, but... it's a home game from here on in.
Yeah, like I said, we're just thrilled, and we're going to enjoy this one, and then we'll figure out what we're going to do.
Now, and I'm just looking back at that mare. Her name rang a little bit of a bell, and wow, goes back 10 years. She won the Bassinet, the old Bassinet at River Downs. How about that? Unbelievable, and the Appalachian as well at Keeneland. Oh, my gosh. She ran the American Oaks in 09 and the Valley View. How about that? All right. Well, this is clearly a horse to watch going forward. And has she grown at all? Is she changing physically since the 6 months?
She's looking better and better. Like a mare, they kind of blossom in the summer. Hair's getting all dappled out. And she's not a huge mare. She's kind of compact, but a very good mover, and got a good stride, a lot of power to her. So I think she's kind of bulking up a little bit, kind of like the way I like him to look, she's starting to look like a a John Sadler horse to me. So, you know, we're pleased.
Well, let's talk about the 5-year-old Sistron as well for Costa and company. Sistron wins the grade one, equals his career high figure, the 100 buyer that he earned coming down the hill. But here's another conversion, a horse moving from turf to dirt, and it feels like he's peaking at the right time.
Absolutely. He's a horse that, you know, a lot of times, you know, in the last year, he'd run fourth, beaten two. We're always running good races. I wasn't quite getting there, you know, but he wasn't running where you'd really want to change too much. You know, he just needs a break here or there. And the switch over to the dirt was when they took the hill races away. And I think I ran him one time 5/8 on the grass. And I said, that's too short for him. And I said, well, what am I going to do? And so it said, let's try him back on the dirt. And so we just hit that just right. You know, he's been back on the dirt, and he ran away on his first win on the dirt, and then kind of an unlucky second next time, and showed that those two efforts were good down here with a really strong race against a good field of horses the other day.
Definitely. And what was interesting was how the public made Stan Huff's Invader, made Recruiting Ready the favorite, which under 2-1 kind of surprised me a little bit. But he really was ineffective in this spot, and it opened the door for you and for Carla Gaines. Desert Law was a good chasing second, but they just could not get to Sistron and Victor. And you're in the same boat here, right? You can basically prep comfortably and just tune him up to be ready for the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, I mean, he'll probably run in the Oak Tree Sprint race. He'll definitely run before the Breeders' Cup. And he's just a hard-knocking horse that's getting better. He's a very beautifully sound horse at 5. You know, he's a stakes winner at Oaklawn at 3. He was 3rd in the Penn Mile at 3. That's, you know, right. At 4, you know, he ran good. He's always running with good horses out here. And, you know, I wasn't always sure with him he could be a tweener. You know, is he turf? Is he dirt? Is he a mile? Is he, you know, but sprinting on the dirt seems to be where he's excelling. So we're going to keep him right there now.
Well, and he's obviously a good feeling horse, John. That's his 29th start or 27th start.
Yeah, he's been beautifully sound. You know, we've never had an issue with him. I gave him a little time at the end of his 3-year-old career because I thought he was a little tired. But never had an issue on his any unsoundness. So, you know, I'd like to have about 20 just like him.
You really sense that, and he's just been a steady earner. If not, you know, in when you're wearing that green jacket of Hieronis Racing, you know, you better eat your Wheaties if you're gonna be counted among the stars in that shed.
And you know what we love about him is he loves to train. Trains never misses a beat. He always works good. I mean, I've never seen him. Never disappointed. You know, if you see a slower work on him, it's because we want him to go slow, you know. And he's smart enough now, he'll do whatever you really want in the morning. But, you know, he's just the solid, solid racehorse. I call him just a great blue-collar, terrific horse.
Now, and this is a case of a horse reaching its physical maturity at age 5, and
yeah.
That's why you show patience. That's why you don't drop him in for 50 or 40, you know, and you let them reach their, you know, their potential.
Well, and that's a credit to the ownership, you know, yep. The ownership group, because you know they're willing to do that, and so. That's really, really great.
Paying the dividends. And finally, Campaign. Go back to Wednesday and the Cougar win.
Yeah, I'm really happy with him. I mean, he looked like any number on the odds board. You know, he was if you went back and watched his race on Belmont Weekend in the Brooklyn, you know, he's 4th beaten 3/4 of a length, and he had kind of a McKenzie type trip. I mean, he was kind of in between horses, not that much room at the end. At 1.5 miles at Belmont, it was a really good race. You know, he didn't win it, but, I mean, he didn't lose anything in my eyesight on that race. So he looked pretty prohibitive in there. And you know, he can close into slow fractions, and he's a true stayer.
a little trickier with a horse like this. There aren't as many, you know, glaring marathon-y opportunities.
No.
What do you do?
We'll probably shorten them up to a mile and a quarter and stop them in the Pacific Classic in our own backyard. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Or we could look at it. They have a long race, I think, at Kentucky Downs.
Yep.
So we'll probably look. We got two we're looking out there for him.
Well, pick up the phone and call Rick Hammerly. And while you're talking to Hammer, arrange for stalls at Oaklawn.
I've already done.
John, have you regrouped? What about Catapult coming out of the Eddie Reed?
He's just not getting the trip where he needs right now. He needs to be covered up. He's been in a couple paceless races. We'll look at the Del Mar Mile on the turf for him or Kentucky Downs, at the end of the 1st of September. So we'll he's fine. He's just not getting a break this year. So you don't want to radically do anything different. He's not running badly, just not getting lucky. So we'll regroup him and go move forward.
Quick updates on Catalina and on Giftbox.
Giftbox is going to be off till Santa Anita. He had a couple little issues down here, so he's on a little bit of a rest. And we'll try to run him up there in the Awesome again before the Breeders' Cup. And Catalina, we're looking. He's going to work this weekend at Del Mar. I mean, it's kind of radical courses. We've been looking at maybe the Forgo or the Pacific Classic or the Pat O'Brien. So we got different races.
All right. Well, we'll let you sort that situation out. And while we're also checking in, I know that yesterday Nolo Contesto worked. I saw him on the tab. Where are you headed there?
I think we're going to probably give him a try on grass.
Oh.
We're going to drop. We're just changing the surface with him. He's been a real head scratcher. And we breezed him on grass the opening weekend. He went pretty well. And then we breezed him yesterday on dirt, but I'm probably going to start him on grass next start.
And is there time to prep, and then is the Del Mar Derby in the back of your mind?
Could be. I mean, we're going to let him tell us. I think early in the year, running so big against beating Omaha Beach, I think it kind of knocked him out, it's taken him a while to regroup, but we're going to figure him out, that's for sure.
No, and it's funny because there's one of those horses that the public probably has forgotten about. And, we talked so much at the beginning of the year over the winter, and there was such excitement. So it's one of those where, that's a project, and, you probe and prod and test and figure it out.
Sounds good, Steve. Hey, listen, I've
go
got
ahead.
To run.
I just meander with you because it's so much fun to talk to you. John, thanks a lot.
All right. Take care.
John Sadler, everybody. And that always happens with him because I keep coming up with horses and even, I guess we'll wait for his 2-year-olds. But what a great summer John's having, and plenty of those opportunities yet to come. So I'm glad I asked about Nolo Contesto because that was, that was a horse that we kind of expected, right? I mean, that was the one that flash the ability early, when you're watching those maiden races early and trying to sort out Baffert and O'Neill and so forth and everybody, Hollendorfer, etc. And Nolo Contesto was, you don't want to say disappointing because there's still, there's still potential, but he's what? He's a pioneer of the Nile, so, and out of a congrats mare. Bred by Ramona Bass. So, listen, he's made $100,000, $106,000, $7,000 in just 5 starts, so plenty of time. And look what John ultimately has crafted with Sistron. Turn him into a grade one winner. You gotta test them for distance and surface and you try different things. Dale Romans is going to join us next. Let's take a break here. We got plenty to do, and I'll I've also got to catch up with you on this week. As we go to the break, I might as well explain this now. We're a little uncertain about tomorrow and Wednesday, but potentially, I don't know. I'll know more this afternoon, and I'll keep everybody advised. I've got a problem with my eye, and we're having some retina surgery later today, and I have no idea what to expect. So we'll, if I can do it, I'll put on my best Hathaway shirt. For those of you that are old enough to know that reference, the Hathaway man, we'll see. But I don't know. If there's a best of tomorrow, at least you'll know why. All right, let's take a break. Dale Romans is going to join us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Echobase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
All right, carry the four plus this. I got that. All right.
26,876.
What's that?
That's how many races you could have bet last summer on ExpressBet.
Haven't signed up for an account yet?
What are you waiting for? On top of all those races, ExpressBet's giving away 25 million XB rewards points with promotions at Saratoga, Del Mar, and more. Plus, ExpressBet's Fun in the Sun Handicapping Tournament features $120,000 in prizes, including seats to the 2020 Pegasus Betting Championship. I know, I'm throwing a lot of numbers at you here, but here's one more. 500. That's the sign-up bonus you could get when you sign up for ExpressBet. So let's recap. 26,000 races, $500 sign-up bonus, $120,000 handicapping tournament, and 25 million rewards points. Hey, this math just adds up. ExpressBet is your way to play this summer.
Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states. Open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
We're back at the races, coming up on 20 into hour three, and we're efforting Dale. We'll chase him down. He should be up by now, I would think. It's 11:15. Oh, that's inside baseball. go ahead. You can kid him. You can tell him I said that. A couple of things for today. I told you about Ellis Park, and I'll save that for Dale because he's got another maiden. And, of course, the excitement over Dennis's moment is quite worthwhile and seemingly well-founded. 97 buyer, and we'll see where they go from here. And, of course, I mentioned the Baffert Arrogate sister. Haven't looked up a fig yet for her, but
immediate impact, well named, that's for sure. So beside the action at Ellis today, Philadelphia, which came up inadvertently with Danny Gargan, I don't know if the entire field is going to go as scheduled. In fact, I could probably quickly go here to see the if there's changes. Yeah, it's 11:15. There should be changes. First post is 12:55 at Philly today. And, yeah, 11:17, the changes went up. Let's see if the eighth race stayed intact. Oh, my gosh. It sure did. Only the two, Petulant Delight for Kate DeMasi, is the only scratch, which leaves a really good starter allowance field. Holy cow, this is a war. You're looking at 2-1 on Navarro as the favorite, who's out. And it's a total of 11, including an entry. Claudio Gonzalez has an entry at 10-1. And I did text Gary. I was curious. He's sending Cecilia Mike down there. And Manny Esquivel, when Gary sends horses down to Philly, like we did with Just Enough Hope, Mike and Patty Farrow will, handle Cecilia Mike. I didn't hear back from Gary. He might, being an off day, he might have gone down to Philly. And Cecilia Mike, 6-1. Very likable in here at 6-1. I mean, Navarro's the horse to beat. Gargan talked about his horse, Playwright, 8-1. And you've also got Oversensual, which is Navarro's other horse, Nick Juarez, over to ride. And, boy, you've got it's a who's who of Mid-Atlantic jocks in town today in Philly. Bisono is up from Delaware, and Jose Farrar is in town. It's a little bit of everybody. Wilmer Garcia? Or is that a different? That's a different Garcia, I think. Because he's there. As I just told you, I've had vision issue here for about 3 weeks. And I see. No, this is Wilfredo, a 7-pound bug. This is a different W. Garcia, not Wilmer. But it's a real mixed bag. Nick Juarez in, and Nick has been riding Oversensual when this gelding, it's an overanalyze, bred by Murray Stroud, and coming off a win at Philly, 25-3. This is a really good race. There is some between Ellis running today, and this card, and I haven't even had a chance to look at some of the other, some of the other venues that run. We mentioned Delaware, but Presque Isle, of course, later, and Mountaineer and the Finger Lakes. The racing's been good at Finger Lakes. So a nice Monday, of racing. And we'll talk. We'll catch up on Presque Isle when Dick Powell joins us tomorrow. So take a look. And then Philly also has got a second-level allowance going 7/8 as the feature. $47,000 purse, 7-horse field. And Navarro favored there, too. One Dozen Banks. Eddie Coletti, American Talent. Linda Rice shipping in American Power. Very nice. Very nice. All right. And so Philadelphia. We'll get Dale Romans next. He just texted me back. He was hung up on the phone. So we'll get Dale now, all right? And we'll talk about his horse that he's sending out at Ellis. Lemon Scat, a second-time starter. Frank Jones, homebred, a Lemon Drop Kid filly. And she ran nicely, actually, in her first start. And this is a good race today, the sixth at Ellis. But the principal conversation with Dale Romans is a follow-up to when he told us that he thought Dennis's moment might be special. And then he went out and proved it. Congratulations, Dale.
Thank you. He backed me up pretty good, didn't he?
Unbelievable. And you know, that I, when I watched the debut, and of course, you know, he clipped heels and it was disastrous. And luckily, you told me, you know, right away later in the day, he came back unscathed. But, I mean, you have to have your heart in your mouth.
Oh, yeah, it was unbelievable. He's running with the reins dangling. And all I could see was they were going to come over his head and he was going to trip, break his neck or something. And he did everything right that race. You know, Channing Hill is one of the most underrated riders and astute student of the game. He came back the next day and he told me, he said, that horse rode itself better than any cock I've ever seen. He said he stumbled bad, split horses, and went on and ran down the winner. And then he went to the outrider to pull himself up.
Well, I don't know how much you want to discuss that. I mean, the people are already convinced that horses train themselves, that the trainers are extraneous.
All we do is get in their way.
Sometimes.
So if you ever hire a trainer, just stay out of their way.
Well, I don't want to insult anybody that was talking about the horse afterwards, but I did see a very funny comment on the internet about Dennis Albaugh's exciting prospect. Somebody said, I'm sure that there's been offers already.
Well, there have been a few people call.
And you know, sometimes the answer is always yes, but I don't know what anybody's going to do. What kind of an offer might move Dennis?
Well, let me just tell you, I got a call. Well, Dennis will sell. I will say that. He everything, those guys don't get that kind of money by not being good businessmen.
That's true. That's true.
And, you know, we sold everything for stallion prospects, three or four of them. And you know, if the right number came around and we had something to hang on to, you know, through his racing career, we'd have to talk about it. But I had a text from a very prominent bloodstock agent today, I won't say who, and he said, would you be interested in selling half? My answer back was, to the right person, for a record amount of money for any horse that's ever been sold off that made win.
Well, there have been some crazy offers.
The Street Cat's the one I can remember. This, you know, they sold him for $10 million after his first start. If you remember that race,
that's right. That's well. The best story on that is the one with Joe Torre and Lou Lazzanero and Bobby Frankel.
Yeah, but he was pretty far down the road. He wasn't just a maiden.
That's true. That's true. That's true. He had already accomplished some things.
Yeah.
And that's one of the funniest stories ever because Godolphin kept calling, and Bobby was just indecisive. And they thought that Bobby, you know, was playing them and trying to get more money. He just didn't know if he wanted to sell or not. And
right,
finally,
he didn't want to sell.
Yeah, it got so high that he had to say yes.
That's what he told me. He told me the same story. He said, I didn't really want to sell him. But then the partners, yeah, you know, let's see. Too much money, you had to sell.
Yeah, at a certain point, and I think...
What was that horse's name?
Is that... I want to say back... back, not backyard. Oh, my God.
I don't remember which one it was.
For goodness sakes.
He said it does, but anyway, that was a lot of money. I think somewhere around 15, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was something that was divisible by three. I'll tell you
right.
That because that way because I want to say 12 million because
they kept it in simple math.
They didn't want to have to put a lot of funny numbers on the check. Well, this, you know, it's funny because our friend John in New York, longtime listener and caller, John sent me the reminder when the entry came in. He said, you know, that horse that Dale loves is back in on Saturday. I mean, whenever a horse wins like this, Bellamy Road and Curlin for Helen Pitts that day, when a horse wins like this, you don't expect that.
No, I'm going to be honest about this, too. When I walked down out of the winner's circle, I was still shaking. And I hadn't felt like that after a race in a long, long time. I mean, he ran a fifth off the track record. How many two-year-olds would ever do that? A 97 fire number, which you know how much I love numbers when they go my way. And it was just an incredible feeling down there with those people. Those people, you know, that's where I grew up on that backside. They were all happy and excited about him racing. It was a great day Saturday. And then we go to Chicago and win a little stake up there.
Oh, well, I told everybody that you won the Springfield with Dabo, who ran a huge race, a nice Temple City.
Yes, he did.
And our friend Joe Valenti, who you probably know, and the EPO Equine, and Joe reminds me, Vineyard Haven.
Vineyard Haven, that's who it was, right.
Vineyard Haven, and I saw Louis yesterday.
You do have a bright audience.
It's people that love the game, and they're all tied on, or they're getting tied on. What do you do? Where do you go from here with this horse?
I don't know. There's so many options. We're going to sit down and talk about it. The options would be Hopeful, Breeders' Futurity, Breeders' Cup, or Iroquois, Breeders' Cup. And a lot of it depends on how many races you want this year going into next year. And do you want to, you know, is it real important to get a grade one on his resume right now? I don't know. We're going to sit down and just talk about it. But we've got to measure out how many races you're going to have. Do you want to race for the Futurity and come back Breeders' Cup quick? You want to give him more time now off those huge numbers and go Iroquois Breeders' Cup with better spacing, but then you don't have the Hopeful on your resume for your stallion prospects. There's just a lot to talk about. You know, Dad's a grand three times and never ran a stake, though. So I'm leaning towards myself, but it'll be up to Hopeful at the end. Iroquois straight to Breeders' Cup.
How about the two turn and one turn equation? And you know, obviously, it feels like his aptitude, and based on winning a 7-furlong maiden breaker like that, that's always a good sign. I mean, he is a tiz now, and that part of it, frankly, I even heard at Saratoga, Dale, that you had, you were excited because from a pedigree standpoint, he didn't feel like a horse that was supposed to be so brilliant so early.
Nothing about him says he should do what he did 7/8 of a mile. And that's the kind of horse that we buy with Baralball is, we have a formula we put together with pedigree analysis and cardio exams, and everything's based on a horse that can go a mile and a quarter. And he checked off every box as well as any horse that we've bought. And has a huge cardiovascular system that should equate to running as far as he wants to run. But you don't see many of those horses that can go 7/8 as early in their life as he did, as fast as he did.
400,000, which, you know, at Saratoga, I mean, that's a nice sum, a healthy sum. Who did all the work behind the scenes on this horse?
Well, we have a whole team of people that work together. We have, and Jason Lou channels everything. He's the one that he's mission control, and we have a pedigree guy, and he was on the pedigree list. And then we have people that go around and look, and then Barry Berkelheimer and I are the last two to come through and close the deal, yes or no. And then at that point, it becomes about cardio and vet system. And if they jump through all the hoops, then it's just price point. And lately, we've been hanging around in the 300 to 500 range, and it's been very successful.
The preparedness, and as you talked about, even what he did, when he clipped heels and had that experience in the debut, it just feels like he's a polished product already. And so
he's naturally polished.
Yeah,
I mean, he was broken by Barry Berkelheimer, Abercrombie Farm. They do a great job. They send me all these off-all horses, so well prepared and so healthy and in great shape. But I think some horses are just naturally smart, and he is. He's just one that nothing bothers him. We shipped to Ellis Park. It was hot. Don't go down and check on him. He sticks his head out and just rubs on me. It doesn't even, he's not sweating. Nothing bothers him. After the race, walking in the winner's circle. Most horses put out that kind of effort. It'll get him a little fired up. He walked in, and there you couldn't tell if he was going out to run or coming in. So it's just totally special, special horse.
Well, and what's amazing here, there's a couple of things that happened, and I'm anxious. I can't wait to hear some of the backstory because the dam, I remember the dam, that Transplendid, she was a New York bred. And she wasn't much, I mean, she was a winner, she won a race, but she was nothing particularly special. She was elusive quality out of a deputy minister mare. And, for her to get this kind of horse, I mean, to even to be bred to tiz now, there's got to be a story.
I don't know the backstories. All I know, somebody knew what they were doing, and for more than one reason, not just the fact that he can run like he is, but for our pedigree guy to pick up on him at the sale as a pedigree play. From what you're just explaining, what I saw, I quit questioning the guy after a few years. I said, whatever you're seeing is working, so we'll go with it. And so whoever crossed and made it to merit knew what they were doing, and it came up on our radar. It just confirms more that I believe that guy knows what he's doing, too.
Unbelievable. And I'm just looking. She had she's got a Verrazano, an unraced Verrazano three-year-old, does Transplendid. That was her first foal. And then she went to Tisnow. She went back to Verrazano. That's the yearling. And the weanling is by Into Mischief. So,
right. And the only mistake we made is not buying all the fillies and her before we ran.
Well, because you knew early. Listen, you told our audience. You told everybody.
Yeah, I told everybody. I went, hey, look, I eat everybody. Let's all share in the world. Everybody, that 380 was a gift.
Well, see, but here's the thing. This was a long con, because what you've been doing for years, waiting for this moment, literally, you've been telling everybody you love all your horses, so people kind of shrug their shoulders now. This was
all was keen to get it, but tell me which ones I said I loved that weren't good. Was it Jacopher when I was driving back from Saratoga? Was it Little Mike when we were getting ready for the Breeders' Cup? Tell me which one it was.
It's true. Brody's Cause, Patio Prado.
Right.
You're right.
We discussed all those meetings on your show, and maybe I do like them all, but tell me which one I was wrong about.
You were right about every single one.
I didn't tell you about Muskrat's Hustle, did I?
Oh, I love it. Well,
I love coming on this show and giving me a good, healthy debate.
Well, I try to stay out of your way. I just kind of, it's like skeet shooting. I just pull the cord.
Right. I got it. And I run my mouth, you're saying, right?
Well, and I won't even ask you to weigh in on Baltimore this weekend. We could have real fun. What?
Yeah.
Getting more trouble.
Right. Let's keep our mouth shut here.
Talk about the horse today. By the way, let me ask you this, because people, I can see people discussing it. If this horse was so good, why did Dale keep him at Ellis?
Okay, let me answer that question for all the numbskulls out there. It's a $50,000 maiden race at Ellis Park that he can go there and cakewalk. Now, do I need to go to Saratoga and run for 30 more thousand for a billionaire and pick up only 60% of that, which he has to pay 20% of that out? If the horse is as good as I think he is, will anybody give a damn where he broke his maiden?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Right? Thank you very much. And tell me the last horse to break their maiden on the dirt starts over the one Kentucky Derby.
We're waiting for that. It might have been
1988 Winning Colors.
There you go, Winning Colors. That was special in itself. That's right.
And Big Brown did, but he broke his maiden on the grass.
That's
and
true.
That was with the Babe. You got to take everything he did out of the equation because he's better than the rest of us.
That's you're not wrong about that. Patty Reynolds getting him ready.
Patty won the race, right? He did.
Darn right, he did.
Big Brown. Yep.
And then
good call there.
Well, and then had the horse foisted out from under him.
He didn't have the horse after that race. The horse was sold, and he got a big check.
I understand.
When a guy buys the horse, he gets, unless you put it in there, they get to do what they want, put it in their program.
I get it. I understand.
Pat's a good friend of mine. I don't think he was very upset the day he got the check from Norris left. Might have been the next May.
even before that winter, I know he was a little frustrated. He would have loved to have gone on with. But look,
he did a great job with it. Getting him to the maiden races half the
exactly.
battle. Exactly.
Well, and that,
Pat's
and, you
a
know,
good
this,
trainer.
Well, and you, Curlin, you're sure Pat's a good trainer. One of our favorites. And, there's a lot of these stories. Curlin, I mean, Helen, I mentioned Helen Pitts earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing about this kind of a romp, Dale, is then having to decide, how much time and how did he act coming out of this yesterday?
Like he never ran.
Oh, boy. All right.
I'm supposed this to fly home today, back to Saratoga today. I'm at home. I'm supposed to fly to Saratoga today. I just got Tammy trying to change my flight, so I'm watching train tomorrow before I leave.
Well, what about Lemon Scat today?
I like that filly. I like her a whole lot. I trained her mother and her grandmother, and I actually own a piece of them, of the mares. And Frank, you know, I think she can win today. I think she's going to be a really good filly, to tell you the truth. That's a tough call. You run at Ellis Park in a maiden race and winner. At this point, you wait for Kentucky Downs for the 140. Now, there's a little difference in money, and it's only 15 minutes further drive.
That's a good point. And this is no easy spot. Brad Cox has got a first-time starter for the Roths, for L&J Foxwoods. Buff Bradley and Bill Gowan and Ian Wilkes in here with a pair. That Champagne Talking, Randy Block, looks interesting to me, the homebred.
Yeah, well, it's a good race. And so, hey, the race we won the other day was a good race. Go down through that list and look at the trainers that are hanging out and have stables at Ellis. I drove around the backside the other day for the first time in a long time. And this place is on the upswing. And I don't know where there's better racing outside of Saratoga in the country than there is right now at Ellis Park.
Oh, no,
and their maiden race, especially a two-year-old program, it's just developed into a special program.
Well, and $55 million being spent by the new owners.
Yes.
And it's going to be not just, you know, it's not just an improved program that is helping the year-round circuit in Kentucky. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a show place by the time
well, you
it's
know,
done.
Yeah, they have been, wait a second, Jake's wanting to talk to me about something. Go! I'm not mad with you. I got my car. Anyway, and you know what's happened? They took all that money and put it at Ellis Park. They took the money from Kentucky Downs, and now it's going to thrive on its own for Paramutual because the racing's gotten so good.
Right.
And their handles are going up. They said that maiden race that we ran the other day was one of the most bet on races. It was like 300,000 in the history of Ellis Park.
That's
when I was
great.
Down there, 300,000 wasn't the whole it was less than that for the whole program.
Listen, I'm all for it, and going back to Ron Geary days, and you know, Ron kept the lights on, and you know, he waited as long as he could and kept things going. And you're going to see
did.
The
yes, he did.
Ellis is going to be one of the real success stories going forward. One of the things
I
to feel good about.
I think so too. And you walk around the grandstand, everybody's having fun. It's like being at the county fair, a place that a lot of people there. It felt like the old days when James C. owned it himself and Miss Ruth was running the place.
You're talking about Mr. Ellis, right? Is that?
Yeah, but James C. Ellis was the first one to build it.
Right.
And there's an older lady who was there when I was there. She was the meanest person I ever met in my life. Her name was Ruth Atkins, and she ran the whole place. One day I was a little kid. I remember Roy Dixon worked for my dad, and she would pay him to clean the bathroom. She got on the intercom and said, "Roy Dixon, get to my office now, and you better not be drunk." So he had to wait 4 hours to go. Yeah, and so you go in her office, and she'd have a 45 sitting on top of the desk. I ask you what the hell you want. She'd be counting all this cash. No telling how much went out the back door back then. Those days before computers. I mean, if you could make a movie about all that stuff back then.
I want to hear more. And you know, there's a woman very famously. There was a woman at Saratoga that nobody knows about. The post-war era at Saratoga that basically ran Saratoga Racecourse for 30 years, and it you know, as a female executive, and not celebrated properly. Here's another one. There's clearly a story to be told. Tell us some stories about some horses, Dale, that we haven't discussed. I was on vacation, and I didn't get to celebrate you winning the first running of the John Nayrud with Promises Fulfilled.
I was wondering why you didn't call me.
I was on vacation.
Oh, okay. No, he's doing super. That was an interesting race over the weekend, I thought. The way that whole thing set up.
What'd
in
you
the
think?
Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
It's not how what I expected to happen. I mean, but now what do they do? Where's Mottoli go? The winner's going to wait for Belmont. That would be too quick back for him. Second start off the way up from Dubai. what's Mattioli do? That's a big question. I mean, he's going to rebound, you know, and come back somewhere and run big, but do they wait on him? And how's the four-go going to end up shaping up?
Well, and what are you looking for the four-go?
We're going four-go. Yeah, we're going four-go.
Well, because I know that it would be, you know, too good of an opportunity for Robert and for Bob
right.
Barron and everybody, and to win at home, that would be huge. Well,
we're going to stay right there, and it's going to be interesting to see how that race sets up, how the division shifts around.
Now, there's a lot of moving parts to this, and not the least of which is the 3-year-old. What did you make of Chancelot yesterday? The borrow,
spectacular performance. Now I'm sure he'll go back into Alan Jerkins. We'll have to worry about him next start with older horses, but I mean he's fast.
Well, speaking of fast,
there's nothing to say about that. That's a good division of sprinters out there.
And that it was clear. It was clear even in the spring that the 3-year-old sprinting division was going to take a nice shape.
And older horse division, both of them sprinters have taken great shape.
Well, talk about Everfast, who was, you know, a good fourth on Haskell Day in the Haskell. And you're going to Travers, right? You're not going to pass.
Yeah, I'm not going to pass that up. I mean, he's making a lot of money running seconds and thirds and fourths, and he's a solid little horse. One of these days, you know, you keep knocking a door, like I told you many times. One of these days, they'll open.
Well, you've been known to kick that door down. And what did you make of the Jim Dandy and also on Friday the Curlin?
Well, say true, they didn't watch the Curlin. I thought Jim Dandy was an interesting race, and Danny Gargan has done a hell of a job with that horse he won with,
yep.
Claiming for $50,000 from Claiborne and winning that race at Saratoga. Hats off to him. It's you know that division is still peculiar to me. I can't figure it out. They run good, run bad, run good, run bad. Nobody's dominant. Are you getting hurt coming back in, going out of the division? It's been interesting to watch.
Well, and of course the horse that kind of gets a dent in the fender out of this was War of Will, and you could tell that Mark Cassie was a little downcast coming out of here, and he's going
right.
to talk to Gary Barber about whether they should go on or if they should freshen up a little bit and maybe look to September with something. We'll see how that plays out.
Well,
one performance.
My theory of race is you make one bad race, you don't worry about. But you know he's kind of put two subpar races back to back, and then you got to figure out where you're going to go. And Mark figured it out.
Well, one performance from the last several weeks that people may not have noticed, it was noticed around here because of Roddy Valenti, but Coach Rox's effort in the Molly Pitcher, you had to really feel good about her lifting her head up.
Yeah, it's a half mile before her ears are up, right? And she's just galloping along, and the horse running next to her starting to fall off. And Steve's horse backs up a little bit. I thought maybe you can't handle the heat. We're going to get the money. Then Mike uncocked his stick and did his normal thing and ran by us. But I was real pleased with the way she ran. And she'll come back up there for the Philly mare race. And Personal Ensign. We'll run her back there and see if she can just keep improving. I think that's the best race she's ever run.
People may think that it was a bit of a mirage, but it wasn't. She ran a huge race.
She ran well.
That was big.
When they come out of the gate like that with their ears up, and they're just galloping, and they kick on home, and she kicks home. Steve Philly just outran her. They run a big race. When you see them down the backside with their ears up like that, they're not putting a lot of effort out, and they're just galloping along, enjoying what they're doing. Those are good things.
Well, the most important question about that is, did Roddy bet the race properly?
You know, I've learned early in my career to not talk about betting with owners. You know what I mean?
Just let them do what they're going to do?
Have you ever seen a gambler that wasn't disgruntled? Either they didn't bet enough or they lost.
Well, Roddy's always in a good,
always
in a good mood.
He was in a good mood, so he must have bet right.
Right now, betting on your horses is going very well. I mean, you had a quiet first half of the year, and it seems like the pieces are falling into place.
Yeah.
You also pulled a very clever maneuver. I mentioned this last week. That was a very smart tactical shift to take 7 trumpets to Ellis to win the Good Lord.
Yeah, I thought that was good for him. That was a good come-off-the-bench race. He's a 3-out-of-the-allowance horse. You know, I put him in up there. Those races don't go very often. And I let the race secretary know that I may not run. I might stay at Ellis. And he looked at the race at Ellis. It was basically a three-event type. And so we didn't really need to ship all the way up. That's a good race to get him going. We'll take him to Del Mar.
Nice. What for which? Yeah. For which?
The sprint's on the same day as the Travers. What's the name of it?
Out there?
The
Pat O'Brien.
Pat O'Brien. Yeah, I can't think of the name of it. Pat O'Brien. We'll go out there for with that, and then get him back in the big leagues.
Let me ask you about a maiden that ran. You were well back of Johnny Unleashed at the end of June. Money for Mischief. When are we gonna get a return effort?
I wanted to go a mile with him, and so I waited for the race at the Indiana Downs, and the race had three horses in it, so it didn't go. He worked spectacular this morning, and I'll get a mile race for him, or 7/8 or 7/8 in a couple of weeks at Ellis. We'll start him back out back there, and he's definitely one I want to put on a program for running over here in Iroquois.
Well, and that race at Ellis that day, they had one of the really well named babies out there in the country, Tiny Danza. Hold me closer, Tiny Danza, which I just love. What about some other 2 year olds? I suppose it's all anticlimactic after Dennis's moment, but there must be another one or two that are hiding.
Well, you gotta have the beat. You gotta have the backups, and they're not beating. I got a bunch of good ones this year. Fight, a good one. He was working with Dennis, and so I had to separate Dennis from everybody, but. He's a nice horse. He's going to run next weekend in a 7/8 race. And you didn't even mention Nighttime. I think he's a special horse.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. The same day that you're talking about Money for Mystic was second, they split the race, and Nighttime won the other division just as fast as the horse that beat us.
You know what? I'm glad you brought him up. What are you doing with what do you do next there?
I'll probably leave him here for the stake here. There's a chance we could show up for the hopeful. I think he's a really good one. Now, he's owned by a New York man that's on the board of directors of NYRA, so we might end up at NYRA anyway, no matter what. Mark Holliday,
Mark
Devil Racing. Yeah, it's one of my close friends, too. He's a really good man. He does a lot of good charity work for horse racing, just being on that board at NYRA. It's not an easy thing.
Well, and that, that horse is a majestic perfection, and the governor bred it, Brary Jones, and
I paid a lot of money for a Majestic Perfection. I paid $200,000 for him. He's out of Kitten's Joy Mare, so he screams at you turf, but ran so big on the dirt. Well, we'll have the turf for a backup plan.
Well, and that was a horse that was also a horse that we saw in New York. That Silent Joy. I remember Silent Joy.
Yep. And it's amazing the horse did run as well on the dirt, but he makes six. But he's a good horse, I think. We're stacked pretty deep. I'd say there's a lot of them. I'm going to leave a lot of them off if somebody was yelling because I didn't mention your horse. But if you're listening, I didn't mention your horse. It's not because he's not that good. We got a lot of good ones.
Well, I'm very glad. A little slow the first half of the year, but you're obviously.
Well, somebody told me that the other day, but I don't remember it. I told him I took the rearview mirrors off my car, so I don't like looking behind me.
That's a good policy. And
right. In this game, right?
Absolutely.
When I was a kid, I've told you this a million times, I think, and walking out of the racetrack one day at Saratoga, 26 years old, first year I was ever there, and some guy yelled down to me, "Go back to Ellis Park where you belong. You're burning up money." And a guy yelled, and I got so mad, I tried to hunt him down and put a South Louisville choking on him. I couldn't find him. Nick, we're sitting in the racing office, and Wayne Lucas walks in laughing. I said, "What are you laughing about?" He said, "Some guy just yelled down at me, 'Go back to quarter horses where you belong. You're burning up money.'" He had a totally different attitude than I did. And he said to me, "Listen, boy, you've got to judge yourself in 5-year increments in this game or you'll go crazy." It might be the best piece of advice anybody ever gave.
That's a story I've not heard from you. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one, though, right? Ask Wayne. He'll tell you. Wayne and I have had a lot of fun together. I'll tell you another quick story.
Go ahead.
Me and him, it's a Wednesday afternoon. I can tell you two or three real good ones, but this is a Wednesday afternoon. We're walking. We ate lunch together at Turf Club a couple of years ago when Churchill ran Wednesdays in the fall. And thanks, buddy. And we're eating lunch, we're walking down, I look up, and I'm 25-1. I said, Wayne, I think I'll win this race. He looks up, he's 25-1. He said, you can't win because I'll win, and but you might be second. So we go over the corner together, but mark the program separately. Don't even handicap. And pick four or five horses, six horses, I think, seven maybe. I don't know what it was. But anyway, we split a ticket for Superfecta. And, you know, I don't gamble much, but we split a ticket for Superfecta, and I won. He gets up for fourth by a nose. We got back 18,000 feet. And I'm in the winner's circle, and he's up at the top on the third floor, jumping up and down, waving that ticket in about a $10,000 suit. I said, hey, look at that silly son. He made 18,000, won four Kentucky Derbies, and he's just as excited winning that 18,000. So that just proves this game is not about money. It's about being right.
That's well said, for yes. Sure. You get to feel good about you're up against the rest of that crowd. That's why Paramutual is the best there.
You're
is.
The one, right? It is. You're the one that figured out the formula. So how many guys gamble that really need money?
Yeah, fair point. Well,
it's
you don't have
the formula, being right, and telling everybody how you did it.
Well, you don't ever want to be in the position where you're scared money and trying to make the rent. No, that is a formula for disaster. Well, a formula for a great final half hour of the show is to have Dale Romans on the other line. Now you got to carry me for another 3 minutes because
you want another Wayne Lucas story?
Sure.
All right, we had horses, both of us, in the Indiana Derby. And we were at Keeneland, and we drove back here, and Wayne had us, of course, Wayne Lucas style, a jet, private jet, waiting. We get on the jet, we fly to Indiana, another night where it's dark and rainy and fall, out in the middle of a cornfield, and they pick us up in a limousine, Wayne Lucas style. I just grab his coattail and go with him. We get there, and we run. I went with the favorite and didn't run very well, ran fourth, so I said, we got to go back to the barn. Midnight now, we're back at the barn, it's drizzling rain, and this old couple is trying to load their horse on a two-horse trailer. Cannot get it to go. And you can tell that it's been out there a long time. It's wet. And I go in the barn right past them, check my horse, come back out. Wayne, again, in his suits, out, adjusting the halter. Takes her about three or four laps right on the horse trailer. And you can see those four people's face just drop. Mr. Lucas, we never expected to meet you, much less have you on our van. We get in the limousine going back, and he kind of elbowed me. He said they were looking in the eye. Can't do that. I mean, it's besides all the flash, Wayne Lucas is a true horseman.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, with that, I'm out of here.
All right. We will see you later this week. You're back Wednesday here?
I'll be back Wednesday.
Well, looking forward to it, Dale Romans, everybody.
Everybody stop by the cigar shop on Sarasota.
Where Dale and Tammy hold court on a regular basis.
Yes, sir.
Dale, thank you.
Talk to you later.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's gold, Jerry. Gold. Radio gold. I love it. He's an original. He's an original. And I think you got enough, right? We covered enough. Do you get all the names? What was that? Was it Fight, 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 did he say? Is that one upcoming that he mentioned, the other two-year-old? I'll confirm that. Well, it was a horseman show with Dale Romans, John Sadler, Danny Gargan, and Louis Carvajal, right? Johnny D in there for a little homespun. A little DeSantis in there, kind of a DeSantis filling, right? Well, it is Dark Monday and Dark Tuesday, and anybody that is in the area and you don't know what to do, it doesn't feel too warm. We've been to Winnie's twice now for blueberries, so go over to Winnie's in Bacon Hill, and you know what? If you don't want to pick them, you can just go buy the trays. That's what we did yesterday. We didn't have time, but we were out of blueberries. They're unbelievable. They're like the size of ping pong balls. So there's your Monday, Tuesday break. And also, I've been meaning to tell, for those of you that there's plenty of people that you know, a certain portion of the family goes to the track, another portion doesn't necessarily want to come. On Sunday, I'm going to give you a country drive. Come out this way, head east on 29, head to Dorset, Vermont. Go to Dorset, Vermont from about 10 to 2. They've got an unbelievably fabulous farmer's market. Spectacular. Right in Dorset. You can go, if you want to go to the Dorset Inn for lunch, you can. And you can go to Manchester. You know, a lot of people, they're talking about going to Manchester. Well, that's fine, and the outlets, but you go through Manchester and keep going north, northwest. 5 minutes out of Manchester is Dorset. Don't miss it. Dorset is wonderful. What else? What else can I tell you? Thanks to Deja behind the glass. Replay tomorrow, 6 to 9, and I will do everything I can. I don't know what to expect later with this eye thing. So we'll see. I hopefully we'll see better long term with this left eye. There was left eye Lopez, left eye Bick. Thanks everybody. Good luck today if you're playing. A lot of good racing. Take advantage of it. And I think I'll talk to you in the morning. I don't know. If not, it'll be a best of. And you'll know that. You'll know that I'm literally blind without a cane. Talk to you soon.
You have to go killing all the bees.